Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
All right, welcome to Hope for Your Heart broadcast. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church, and I'm so glad that you're joining us today. And we are just off the Thanksgiving holiday, and I wanted to share some interesting facts to you about this holiday before we conclude our series on Don't Give Up. Americans are expected to pay or spend out roughly $87 billion over Black Friday and Cyber Monday. That's just this year, 2019. There are so many stereotypes about what people do when they shop and why they shop, and generally they think that women shop more than men, but statistics show that 88% of men will be out on these shopping days shopping, while 85% of the women will be out there shopping. And when it comes to regretting things that you buy, men have a higher level of regret than women. 56% of men, when they buy something, they regret that they bought it, as opposed to 49% of the women who buy things. So today, as we look at our broadcast, we're going to wrap up our series on Don't Give Up. We've had a great time going through the life of Gideon the last few broadcasts, and today I want to look at the son of Gideon. His name is Abimelech. And I want to share some background information with you about his life, and I want to share some things that I think will really help you, because when you think about giving up, so many times we look at how bad things are. And we look at how it seems like evil is running rampant, and it seems like everybody's getting away with really a wicked way of lifestyle, and we feel like, man, what's the use? Why should I keep going on? Things aren't getting any better. I want you to know that God wants us to drive through, even during the difficult times when it feels like evil is winning, and it feels like we are on a losing team. When you think about why pressure and evil comes, God wants us to be refined by these difficulties. President Ronald Reagan had a daughter. Her name was Patty Davis. Back in the 1980s, she was very passionately opposed to the buildup of nuclear weapons. She constantly spoke at rallies criticizing the nuclear arms policy of her dad's administration. The main difference between Patty and the other demonstrators was that Ronald Reagan was her father. Her mother was appalled at Patty's actions, and she felt that they were a personal attack on her father. But as long as she was respectful and civil, her father didn't mind Patty publicly expressing her views. Writing about her father in a January 2012 issue of Town and Country, Patty admits that she chose the more militant, in-your-face approach instead of a kinder and a gentler response. Patty was demonstrating one day for world peace, and she admits that she was a child rallying against a parent, nothing more. I was at war with my father. One of her biggest regrets was speaking at the Rose Bowl, and as she was getting ready to speak at the Rose Bowl, there was 100,000 people in the audience, and they were chanting, "Get a new president, get a new president." Every fiber in her being told her that she should walk away, get off the stage, leave the podium, but instead, she continued on with her address. At the end of giving this address, she had some major regrets. Later in her life, after her father had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, she said, "I would look into my father's eyes, and I would try to reach past the murkiness of Alzheimer's with all of my words, my apology, hoping that in his heart, he heard me and he understood." Patty Davis concludes her article by saying, "I wish that now, all these years ago, I had led with kindness, not ideological stridency. I wish I led with kindness. We are, after all, remembered in the end for how we treat others. Sometimes the political has to be tempered by the personal." When we look at the evil of our society, I want you to know that how we treat others is how God eventually treats us. And all of that is irregardless to how evil may be. We've been going through the life of Gideon. Gideon was a mighty man of valor. He was a man that God took, who was really a cowardly man, but God referred to him as a mighty man of valor. God raised up Gideon, who was a reluctant judge, and God used Gideon to defeat the Midianites. Gideon got a series of troops together, 32,000 in all. God said, that army is too big. He had it all the way down to 300, and he was given the victory over the Midianites. However, there were some things in the life of Gideon that he didn't take care of. Generally, as we look at the life of Gideon, we look at Judges chapter 6 and Judges chapter 7, and maybe we'll tap into Judges chapter 8 a little bit, but we very rarely get into Judges chapter 9 that talks about his son Abimelech. When you think about treating others kindly, there is a danger if we don't follow God's prescribed plan for how we treat others. And this is especially true, when we come to the matter of marriage. We come to the matter of our husband and wife relationship. God has a plan for marriage. It's one man, one woman, for one lifetime. When we look at the life of Gideon, we see that this was kind of an Achilles heel for him because he didn't really have just one wife. He had many wives, and we learn that he had 70 sons, and then he had a son, Abimelech, actually not through a wife, but through a concubine. When you think about what happened in the life of Abimelech, it was a sad reproach or a sad testimony on the life of Gideon. We're in Judges chapter 9, and as we go through Judges chapter 9, I want to quickly go through some of the results of what can happen to us when we are bent on evil. And the reason I'm going down this path is because I don't want us to get discouraged when we see evil all around us. I don't want us to throw up our hands and say, what is the use? Que sera, sera, whatever's going to be is going to be. When we look at the life of Abimelech, there's a lot of reasons to be discouraged. One of the reasons I know that the Bible is true is because God records the good and he records the bad. If I was writing the Bible, I would have left some parts out. I would have left the story of Bathsheba and David out, that adulterous relationship that David had. I would have left a lot of the sadder and more evil stories out of the Bible. I would probably leave Judges chapter 9 out of the Bible, and that's why I know that I didn't write the Bible, because God includes this story of Abimelech. There's several things that we look at in his life, and we see that he rejected the message that God had given to him. As I told you, Gideon had 70 sons. Gideon is now off the picture. He has passed on, and now Abimelech is taking over. So he gathers the nation of Israel together, and he, in essence, says to them, would you rather have 70 people lead you, or would you rather have one person lead you? He rallied up the nation, and the nation said, we'd rather have one person lead us. 70 leaders sounds like organized mass chaos. We'll have one leader leading us. Abimelech says, well, very good. I'll be happy to oblige. And he goes and he gets his swords and he gets his troops together and he kills his 70 brothers, takes them out on a stone, perhaps, and most likely beheaded them. There was one brother, however, who he missed. The youngest brother, a guy by the name of Jotham. Jotham escapes, and then he comes back after the dust settles, and he actually confronts his brother Abimelech. And he does it with a parable. And he says to Abimelech, as you think about this parable, there was an olive tree. And this olive tree was asked to be the leader. The olive tree, in essence, said, should I leave something that is good to lead? I'm making this olive oil. I don't think I'm going to leave. And then he said, there's a fig tree that came forth. It was asked to lead the people. And the fig tree said, should I cease from making these sweet figs? I don't think so. Then there was the vine. The vine produced great grapes that in essence would produce great wine. And the wine branches said, I don't want to lead. I'm not leaving my position. And then the last tree is really bramble. It's a dead branch. The dead branch was asked, would you lead? I'd be happy to lead. I'd be glad to lead. Jotham says, Abimelech, you are that bramble. But he refused to remember and he refused to listen to what was said. Abimelech, instead of saying, well, you know, you're right, I kind of overstepped my authority, I shouldn't have killed my brothers, he instead becomes more rebellious. When we get down to Judges chapter 9, verses 22 to 25, we see that because of the heart of Abimelech, God actually stirs up animosity between Abimelech and the citizens of Shechem. Now, this is an interesting point because we see two things happening here. We see actually God stirring up this animosity. You know, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. One pastor one time told me, he says, if you get in a wrestling match with a pig, you may beat that pig, but you're going to come out smelling like the pig pen. When we get in the trenches fighting evil, we must be careful that we don't become evil, because if we do, God can actually turn our evil on ourselves. And here's what is happening in this particular scenario. Abimelech sees his citizens of Shechem. Now, these were the people that were his brothers. The Shechemites were those who were living in the Levitical city, a city of refuge. That's where Joseph was buried. The Shechemites were actually brothers of Abimelech. They actually turn on Abimelech. They acted treacherously against Abimelech. God did this in order that the crime that he had committed, that Abimelech had committed, would be taken care of. You know, God always has a way of taking care of things. Don't worry about getting somebody back. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 32:25, vengeance is mine, retribution is mine. In due time, I will repay. In Proverbs 20:22, it says, do not repay evil for evil. Just wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Well, we see that the story actually gets worse for Abimelech, and he actually is starting to have the kingdom fall apart from him. And as we look at the context here, we see that he's been now ruler for 3 years. And as he's ruling for 3 years, things seem to be doing well, but now it's starting to fall apart. We're actually seeing a civil war take place. In verse 25 of Judges chapter 9, we see Abimelech that he's been governing for 3 years, and God stirs up this animosity, and God did this in order to avenge the brothers that were killed. God did this because of the shedding of that innocent blood, and we see that the citizens of Shechem are coming up across the hilltops, and they're actually ambushing the people who were following Abimelech, robbing from them as they pass by. The Bible tells us that in opposition to these citizens, Shechem set up the men on a hilltop, and they would ambush anybody who went by. You know, life of crime is a life of anxiety. And here we see Abimelech now worried. Every time he leaves, that he's going to be ambushed, that he's going to be robbed. I read a funny little story about a criminal who found that his lifestyle of being a criminal was very stressful. His name was Mr. Mortland, and Mr. Mortland clearly needed to enter into a new lifestyle. This 38-year-old found out that when he was what he was doing under pressure was not allowing him to be free from anxiety, not to mention stealing is illegal, but Mortland committed a string of robberies in Minnesota. After being captured, he received a sentence of 8 to 10 years in prison for holding up 8 local convenience stores. During his crime spree, Mortland received the nickname the Rolades Robber. Now, this came about because Mortland repeatedly would ask store clerks as he was holding them up if they could get him some antacid tablets. The felony, when it was going in place, caused him so much stress, and his explanation was that he needed the antacid because the stress of being a criminal was it was weighing heavy on him. So he was called the Rolades Robber. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're to no longer steal. Rather, we should work hard so that we can have abundance, so that we can take care of our families, and so that we can also have some left over to be generous in helping others. I hope that you're a generous person, and I hope that you will not resort to a life of thievery. You know, there's so many ways that we can steal. Sometimes we can steal ideas from other people, and it's called plagiarism. Sometimes we can steal time from our employer and not work as hard as we should. I think we can also steal from God by not giving as we should give. As a matter of fact, Malachi talks about that we have stolen from God by not paying tithes and offerings. We look at the life of Abimelech, and it goes from bad to worse. Now we see the people are rioting in Judges chapter 9, 26 through 30, and they're moving through, and things are falling apart. Whenever rioting takes place, you know there's trouble. Throughout the Bible, there's mentions a few times where there's riots, and they're never mentioned in a favorable manner. In the wake of 2011 London riots, they decided to call in the rabbi to share his thoughts on why London was experiencing these riots. He wrote these words. He says, because of the moral disintegration of the Western world, the rioters are the victims of a tsunami of wishful thinking that has washed across the West, saying that you can have sex without responsibility of marriage, you can have children without the responsibility of parenthood, social order without the responsibility of citizenship, liberty without the responsibility of morality, and self-esteem without the responsibility of work and earned achievement. What has happened morally in the West is what has happened financially as well. Good and otherwise sensible people were persuaded that you can spend more than you earn, incur debt at unprecedented levels, and consume the world's resources without thinking about who will pay the bill. There are large portions of Britain and Europe and even in the United States where religion is a thing of the past, and there is no counter voice to the culture of buy it, spend it, wear it, flaunt it, because you're worth it. The message is that morality is passé. Consciousness is for wimps. And the single overriding command is, thou shalt not be found out. Well, Abimelech was being found out. His life was falling apart. God was bringing about vengeance on this man for his refusal to follow the decrees of God. Now, where did he learn this behavior? I think that the Achilles heel for his dad, Gideon was a poor family man. He may have been a great commander. God used him in a tremendous way. But he didn't take the time to invest in his marriage. He didn't take the time to invest in his son, Abimelech, and his other sons. He ran his life in such a way that he couldn't care less about his family. I think he only cared about the praise of men. When you think about how God wants to use you, he wants to use you to turn this tide of evil. Don't give up in the face of evil. God has a way of taking care of those who do evil. Vengeance is mine, say the Lord, I will repay. In the New Testament era, we're under the age of grace. We have government that can step in. In Romans chapter 13, talks about the role of government. And ideally, the role of government is to punish evil and to reward good. Romans 13:4 says, for God's servant is a servant for good, referring to the government. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. As we get back to the story of Abimelech, we see that his whole world is falling apart. He doesn't realize that he's about to be defeated. The Shechemites are coming against him. Other enemies are coming against him. And he decides that he will deal with the rioting. He will deal with those who are coming against him. And he's going to do it with force. And so he gathers and marshals his troops. And he tells his men, this is how we're going to defeat this enemy. We're going to push them to the outskirts. They're going to run to their towers of refuge. And we're going to force them into these towers. Before we go to war with them, I want you to go out and I want you to find a bunch of dead branches, referring to the bramble that Jotham had spoken of in the parable that we talked about at the beginning of this broadcast. I want you to get these branches, and as we push the enemy into these towers, we're going to light these branches on fire, lean them up against the tower, and then the tower is going to burn, and we're going to burn them alive in that tower. Abimelech thought he had a solution. As the story unfolds, you can read the entire story at the end of Judges chapter 9. As the story unfolds, we discover that God is using even this event to bring about his wrath and his vengeance. As that tower is burning, and as the troops are gathered around there, there's a woman up the top of that tower, and she finds a stone that is loose, and she breaks it loose, and she throws it over the edge of the tower. And lo and behold, that big stone fell, hit Abimelech right on the top of the head, splits his skull wide open. Abimelech realizes that this is going to be a fatal blow. And he also realizes that this was a stone that was thrown by a woman. He says, I don't want the world to say that a woman killed me. So he said to his sword's keeper, take your sword and drive it through me so that nobody can say a woman has defeated me. Judges chapter 9, verse 56, it says, thus God repaid the wickedness that Abimelech had done to his father by murdering his 70 brothers. God also made the people of Shechem pay for all of their wickedness. The curse of Jotham's son of Jerubbaal came on them. Well, how does this all fit together for us? We are living in a divided culture. You can whine about the generation that is coming up behind us, or you can worship with them. You can work with them, but you can't do both. Here are three takeaways that I want to leave with you as we wrap up our time together today. Number one is stop isolating and start engaging. When you see how evil the world is, it's so easy for us to kind of hibernate, kind of step back and isolate ourselves from the world. You know, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not to be isolated from the world. We're to engage the world, not to become like the world, but so that we may reach the world. Number two, stop complaining and start encouraging. You know, there's a tremendous ministry in encouragement. It is easy to complain about things. It's easy to walk in a room and say, it's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. Anybody can do that. That takes absolutely no brain power whatsoever. But a person who can come along with an encouraging word. You know, God has given us the ministry of encouragement. Everybody's having a hard time. We ought to encourage one another, build one another up. And my third point for you today to take home is that we must stop demanding and start equipping. Stop demanding your way and start equipping other people. Thanks so much for joining with us today. And I hope that you will take the lesson of Abimelech and that you'll be with him and understanding that he has a valuable lesson to teach us, and that is to trust in the Lord. He will repay evil. Don't isolate yourself when bad things happen. Billy Graham put it this way. He says, whenever you see a tragedy take place, and you're going to see some tragedies in life, don't look at the evil, don't look at the tragedy, but look at those who are doing good. God always has somebody that is going to light a candle and say, this is the way of the Lord, walk ye in it. Why won't you make that person you? Abraham Lincoln said, it's amazing to see what would happen if you would stiffen up your back. I think there's so many people that are waiting for us to stiffen up our back and do the right thing. Do the right thing no matter what happens. In due time, God will repay you for doing the right thing. After all, when you think about the story that we looked at today, many of you who are listening today had no idea about the story of Abimelech. You knew the story of Gideon because Gideon was the hero, but you don't know the story about Abimelech because Abimelech pursued evil. If you do good, you'll be remembered for a long time. I hope that you will be blessed today as you have listened to this broadcast. I hope that if you don't have a place to worship on Sunday, that you'll consider joining us at Hickory Ridge Community Church. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you. Would you today put your faith and trust in Christ? If you'd like to be saved today, you can pray this prayer right along with me. The prayer goes like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I realize my sin has caused my life to be broken and separated from you. I accept the gift that Christ gave me. I accept the fact that he died on the cross for my sins and that he rose again 3 days later. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I'd love to hear from you. You can write to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard, South Chesapeake, Virginia. Love to hear from you, or you can email me. My email address is ccorbett, C-C-O-R-B-I-T-T at HRCC, and then the number 7.org.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, There is always hope for your heart.